Current state on 90.5 WKAR, every day at noon as well on AM 870 WKAR. A mid-Michigan author has published a book that examines the connection between childhood's imaginary worlds and adult creativity. Current State's Melissa Benmark joins me now with more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. Michelle Root Bernstein is an historian, independent scholar, and educator affiliated with Michigan State University, and she's very interested in what makes people creative. Her book is called Inventing Imaginary Worlds, From Childhood Play to Adult Creativity Across the Arts and Sciences. And when I talked to her last week, I asked her first about the central idea of the book. What is world play?
The word world play is a term that I coined when I got very interested in looking at the invention of imaginary worlds in childhood. And then also I was going to be looking at them in adulthood. I wanted to trace, if I could, what happens in adulthood with that. But at any rate, I made up the word because I wanted a word that kind of suggested the idea of playing, of the actual act of playing in something that you had made yourself. So that's sort of where the word came from.
Do you mean something that is made imaginarily or a physical area that's made, like, for instance, a child will make a fort or out of blankets? Or
actually, it can be both. It can start, and it often does start, with the concrete making something, like a special place. Or a found place or making a fort. In fact, children go through a stage in middle childhood where that becomes a very important activity. And I think world play can begin there. It begins in that creating this sense physically of a special environment and in which you can then play imaginatively and you become something else. You're not just who you are. You may be pirates or whatever catches your fancy, but you can become something. And I think what happens is that children don't invariably start with a physical, but that whole idea of creating a place. And sometimes that place can be very in your head. And there may not be that many stimulants from the environment. So with world play, a child will create an alternative world. It's mostly in their head for it to be world play. The way that I was studying, mostly in their head, but they envision this place and they come back to it again and again. So it's not just, oh, today I'm playing Barbie dolls and they live here and there. It's, you know, I created Lolly Dolly Land, and every time I sit down to play with my dolls, we go to Lolly Dolly Land. And Lolly Dolly Land has a history because things happened there. I remember what happens there. I might have drawn pictures of what something that was going on in there, or I might draw a map of how you get there. I might tell stories that I tell over and over again, or I might write them down. So there are ways that the child persists in going to the same place. It's a consistent place. And I like to think when it really gets interesting and creative is when the child begins elaborating on that place and then recording it in some way in what you might call an artifact, whether that's a map or a story or a picture.
So fast forward to adulthood, how does this world play in children affect what and who they are as adults?
Well, I was very interested in asking that question, and the reason why is I had worked on a book with my husband called Sparks of Genius, and we looked at various imaginative skills in that book, and one of them was playing. And while I was researching for that particular aspect of the book, I came across so many adult creators, artists, scientists, whoever was involved in making knowledge, making culture, talking about their childhood play. Maybe not world play, but something they had done in childhood that was very, very important. And I realized that this is so significant to people. The idea of their play or how they played really resonated for their adult work. They took strength from that, or they took inspiration from it. So I wanted to take a kind of play I could trace, which was, world play. I can trace that because I can kind of recognize it and see what kind of did it last? Did people in their adulthood remember it? What did they take from that if they had played? So I did study. MacArthur Fellows, in fact, was the group that I looked at because they were creative in many, many fields. And first I just asked whoever, you know, I had about 100 respondents, which was pretty good, asked them, you know, how they played as children. And many of them did create worlds. You know, I could recognize that as, yes, that's world play. And it was important to them, and it was important to them in different ways. What they realized, many of them, was that the kind of work they were doing as adults was tied to the kind of play they did. Now, sometimes it was subject matter. They were interested in something as a child, and they remained very interested in that as adult. Sometimes it was just the kind of processes they did. They realized, oh, you know, I kind of fell in deeply into, immersed myself in this world when I was a child. And now that I'm an adult, when I'm at my creative best, basically, it's not the same world, but I, again, immerse myself maybe in the world of the poem, or immerse yourself deeply in, you know, if you're studying the science of microorganisms, you immerse yourself in their world. So they recognize similarities between what they were doing as a child and what they're doing as an adult.
We're talking with Michelle Root Bernstein. She's an historian, independent scholar, and educator affiliated with Michigan State University. And her most recent book is called Inventing Imaginary Worlds. One thing that crosses my mind, it sounds like this maybe has to happen spontaneously. Like if you were to come to a little kid and hoping that they would be creative and successful later in life, said, you know, okay, now it's time for you to make up a world. It just seems like that doesn't have the creative punch of coming up with something on your own. You know, kind of like the difference between Get Up Baseball and Little League, both of which have their strong points, but there's a difference in the spontaneousness level. How do we encourage kids to do this without co-opting and structuring what is a pretty personal and internal process?
Right. That's a very important question to me. You know, one of my children, my daughter, made up a world spontaneously. And I got very interested in watching her and talking to her about it. And she played in it for many, many years. I also had a son who was a little bit younger than her. And at some point, it became aware that she tried to get him interested in it. And just no deal. You know, he tried for a day, and it was not his cup of tea. And so there is that sense that some children are going to want to do it, and some aren't. I think that what a parent can do is introduce the idea, encourage it, make some materials available, and then just step back and see whether it happens. You know, I looked at a lot of people historically and found that in some families, world play seemed to run in families. And so parent would obviously model it in some way for the child, and the child would pick it up. But you can't legislate it. You can't do that at all. So because it then becomes something that's imposed. And to be play, it has to be from the child. It has to be intrinsically important to the child. And they're the one making it up. So some of the best advice, which I was not the first one to make, with regard to imaginary worlds and childhood play, is parents basically set the stage, give them the materials they need, be very encouraging, be very interested in what they're doing, but hands off. You're not playing with them, you know. You're just going to step back and let it happen. On the other hand, I think, too, that there is a place for world play in education. If you look at a lot of the playful learning activities that are already there, you see elements of world play in them. And they can be useful in guiding a child in a structured environment to learn about the world in a more playful, imaginative, creative way. Because a lot of these exercises in schools will involve art making or artifact making or finding out about the community. You know, how do people make buildings or whatever? And then you go back and you have this imaginary realm in the classroom where you try to do the same thing. So you're doing a lot of learning. It's like a learning laboratory. So I think that it can be used in the schools, I think, to be very effective, to kind of really energize the child. And maybe they're going to say, oh, I'm going to go home and do this myself. You have to give them a lot. It has to be very child-centered. You have to really give them a lot of leeway to invent that imaginary world that is parallel and like the real world, but might not look exactly the same.
What about us grown-ups? Is it ever too late for world play? I'm guessing, you know, there are certain developmental ages where something like that will have an effect on you, but what about the rest of us?
Another good question. I don't think it's ever too late to play in general. I don't think that we allow ourselves enough time to play as adults or to understand what it is that we do that is play for us. I've done a number of world play workshops with adults, often teachers, but not always teachers. And I'm surprised for that hour and a half. I mean, people are just gung-ho and they're having a great time. I remember doing one with, these were college students, but I thought one of the most original things I ever saw was some young man took a bunch of, you know, yarn and he made a, it looked like a leash and a collar. And then we make little signs, you know, and he said, you know, Martian collar for a dog man or something. And I thought, you know, but he, it's just an example of how people, they just sort of blow your mind. And I think they're blowing their own mind, too, that they're just having fun.
Michelle Root Bernstein, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy you invited me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.